I shared my testimony before. My family never went to church as a family. I went a couple times as a kid, wasn't impressed with a big church downtown. My mom started going to a church on the outside of town where you didn't have to wear all those fancy clothes. When I was 15 and when I was 16, she bribed me into going by offering to let me drive the car. And there was a girl there, and between the car and the girl, I kept going regularly. And I committed my life to Christ after a few months. When I started going to church with my mom, my dad started going to church also. And he went to another church, which was really a sect kind of church. And he got involved with that and with a lot of the New Age movement. And I remember coming home from college one time, a couple of years later, and there, our living room had a bunch of people in it, and they were doing astral projection. And the guy who was the leader went into a trip of projection and described what was going on in his home at that moment. And he placed a call and had somebody in the group ask him, what was going on? Who's doing what? Who's where? And described it to a T. Now, whether he rigged that up, I don't know. But those kinds of things do happen. And they're a very supernatural type of events that take place not from God, but from demons and spiritual forces. And I saw what this did to my dad and the catastrophic spiritual outcome that he had. I want to talk today about following Jesus in the area of spiritual warfare. And there is warfare that goes on. Our text is from Mark chapter 5. The disciples had just seen Jesus out in the boat calm a storm, and they marvel. It says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. And so he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And the people came out to see what was happening. And they came out to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis, the 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. Let's pray. Lord, we marvel at that story also. We thank you that you set that man free. And we thank you that you have been throughout the ages setting person after person free. We thank you that you are victorious over all the spiritual evil forces in the world, and that we can share in that victory. Lord, set people free today. And equip us to resist and to stand firm against all the attacks of all those spiritual forces on us and on those around us. Grant us victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's quite a story. The devil and many other spiritual forces are real. They do exist. They are out there. They have many different forms, many different levels of authority, and there are many different ways in which they act. Ephesians 6:12, which we'll read again later, says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." There is a whole host of spiritual beings that exist apart from our earth, apart from our universe. People wonder, are there other universes out there? Yes. There are the heavenlies. There are these other places in the ultimate places where God himself lives. And I wrote a poem one time and I likened us to God. The earth is like God's video game. It's real, only real game. And he created that. But God exists apart from that, and he created many other beings, and a whole bunch of those beings rebelled against God and have focused on the earth. And they know that there is a future judgment facing them. And they have anger. And they have jealousy. And they want to control. And they want to express that desire to rule and reign and be their own God and get even with God. They want to express that on mankind. There are demonic forces over various geographic areas. It's interesting that that guy said, "Please, let us stay in this country, in this area." They had a specific geographic area that they wanted to be in. And that may be a whole nation. I think of Russia, ruled by the czars, real tyrants. And who took over? The communists. And what was their rule like? the same stuff. But now they have a democracy, sort of. And what does their ruler look like? The same stuff. Do you think that's coincidence? Or is there a demonic force there over that whole country? Is there one working in ours? They work on geographic areas. It's interesting, when I look at the spiritual issues and the moral issues of Gouverneur or Messina or Potsdam or Canton or Gouverneur, each one is kind of uniquely different. Why is that? Because there's spiritual forces at work. And they can be at work in a neighborhood. They can be at work in a house. I was asked one time to go to a house in Norwood, and there were all kinds of supernatural, demonic things in that house, and I was asked to purge that house in the name of Jesus. Yeah. So there are spiritual forces. The devil and other evil forces are real. There are many different kinds and many levels of the power. And their goal is to inhabit and control and wreak havoc on human beings. That's their way of getting even with God. They are not pleasant. They may seem pleasant, but they're not. The beautiful thing in this passage is that Jesus has authority over them. It's very interesting that they said that he was the Son of God. There weren't many people at that time, not even the disciples were calling him the Son of God. But those demons knew it. And they knew that he had more power than they did. And they begged him to not send them out of that area. He cast the demons out of that man. Legion is a word going back to the Roman army, and it described a number of soldiers in the category of 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. Wow. There were 2,000 pigs, and they occupied those 2,000 pigs. Wow. But Jesus had authority over them and cast them out. And in Jesus Christ, we are stewards of that same authority. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, and he says, I want you to know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And that isn't describing just a seat, a chair. It's describing a position of authority. In the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but to come. I don't know. I'm back. Okay. Not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him fills all of all. Jesus Christ is head over all those powers and authorities, every force in the universe, good and evil. He is above them all. And he is head over all of them to the church. His power is available to you and me. All that power is available to us for whatever we need. for whatever obstacle we're facing. For all the demons of hell, his power is greater than that, and he's available to us. Wow. He set that man free. The description of him, of the guy with those demons, was horrendous. And what a contrast to see him fully clothed, free from the chains, in his right mind, his thinking was straight. He set him free. And when we come to Jesus Christ, whatever the spiritual background may be, whatever the degree, when we really commit our life to Christ, we are set free from demon possession, if that's been a matter in our life. Christians cannot be possessed by demons. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness, has delivered us, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. The Apostle John in 1 John 4, verse 4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. He's speaking here in the context of those spiritual forces. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He that is in us, greater than he that is in the world. So those that are in the world, those demon forces are not in his church. We are free from that. That does not mean that the devil doesn't come after us or his demons come after us. When our church was just starting that first year, we celebrate our 50th this coming January. That fall, the men had a men's retreat at Owl's Head over near Malone, and the Holy Spirit fell in a beautiful and powerful way. And all our wives knew was we came home speaking in tongues. But they soon joined us. But immediately following that was a whole lot of demonic attacks, spiritual attacks from the evil one. And we learned a lot about spiritual warfare in a short period of time. I remember it was around in the November time, and I don't know whether it was a dream or a vision. It was in the middle of the night, and I heard my wife groaning, and I patted her and went back to sleep or to this vision state. And I immediately had a picture of a face in front of me. And I was startled, and the Spirit wanted me to invite him in. And I said, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? And he smiled and said, yes. And I felt real terror. And I said, do you own him as Lord and Savior? And he smiled and said, no. And it took a lot of energy for me to call on the Lord at that time. But I did, and he disappeared. And I woke up. And I felt next to me the presence of an angel. And I didn't say it verbally, but in my mind, in my spirit, I said, thank you. And he said, you're welcome, but we're not to talk. A real experience. I'm not flaky, okay? I really am not. And I avoided the flakiness, by the way, the 70s and the 90s. And, I'm just a faithful learner. When we come to Christ, we're set free. Can a Christian have a demon? If he wants one badly enough. No. If you're really in Christ, God will protect you. I remember a Crane student. She became a Christian through our ministry. She was walking with the Lord and a few months old in the Lord, and she wanted an appointment and came in and talked to me, and she said, John, I grew up in a home where my mom was very, very busy. And the lady next door became kind of like a second mom. And she kind of adopted me, and I spent a lot of time over there with her. And she just loved on me and was real nice to me. And she was a medium. Did seances, communicating with the dead. And she invited a spirit into my life. And ever since then, I've had dreams. And those dreams would come true. Some of it was good stuff, some of it was bad stuff, but I would have these dreams and the dreams would come true. But once I came to Jesus, I quit having those dreams. But there's still a dream that I had that it hadn't come true yet. And it was about me playing the piano for somebody who had their senior vocal recital. And I messed up the playing, lost my place, and messed the whole thing up and messed up her recital. And the other day I was walking down the street, and this gal came from across the street, saw me, and came across and came up to me, and it was the same gal in my dream. And she said, would you, I understand you're a piano major, would you play at my recital? And she said, I'm really uptight about all that. So I prayed with her, and we took authority over that. And claimed the blood of Jesus, rebuked that spirit, and said that Jesus is Lord of history, not the devil. And she played the recital, and it went great. And she never had any more dreams. God gives us authority and power and the resources to overcome those attacks. Jesus himself was attacked. He was filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, when Jesus was baptized. And it says the Spirit led him off into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He went into the wilderness filled with the Spirit. He came out of the wilderness, Luke tells us, in the power of the Spirit. So when we have spiritual battles, we don't have to be afraid of them. And we're going to be empowered in that. And we can grow through those things. We don't have to be beat up by them. Times of victory. We can overcome the attacks that the devil brings on us and the demons bring on us. Try and whisper in our ears. And Ephesians chapter 6 gives us some very good direction on this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That's a description of how we stand, how we stand firm. But notice that there are things that we need to do, that we need to put on to be able to stand. We can get beat up pretty bad if we don't put them on. Okay? Now, there's beautiful symbolism in the belt and the breastplate and the shoes and so forth, but I'm not going to get into that because I only got a few minutes left here. But I want to hit the points of truth, of righteousness, of peace, faith, salvation, the Word of God, prayer, and perseverance. Those are the elements. And if you go through and read the book of Ephesians, you'll see that these terms stand out throughout the book. These are some of his main points as he's writing to the Ephesians and wanting to deal with their own struggles of faith and their own need to mature in Christ. So I encourage you, take these points and go back and look at the book of Ephesians at the various verses that talk about truth, about righteousness, and so forth. And I'll mention a few of those. Stand therefore fastened on the belt of truth. Satan wants to deceive us into believing lies. In the Gospel of John 8:44, it says, he is a liar and the father of lies. He's a murderer and liar from the beginning. And that's what he used, the weapon to kill Adam and Eve and bring death on mankind was a lie. You can be like God. Is there any good in you? God knows if you eat it, you'll be like him. You want those guys to believe in God? You wanted them to reject him. In Ephesians 1, it says, in him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:15, it says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We are to speak the truth to one another. Hey, this is what God's word says, not what the world says. Our culture teaches us that there are no absolutes, that truth is relative, and that we each can have our own truth. It's a lie. Our culture is controlled by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the children of disobedience. Righteousness. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is God's gift to us. It's not our righteousness, it's God's righteousness, and we need to put that on, but we need to manifest that also in our righteousness. Satan wants to tempt us to do wrong. He wants us to sin. He wants us to compromise our moral behavior. We live in a culture that is very compromised with moral relativity. It's okay to do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. You can do whatever you want. That's what our culture says. And that's a lie. You are to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what we're to be like. Ephesians 4. Peace. I love that word peace. The Greek word is eirene, but Paul was thinking the Hebrew word shalom. And you've heard me talk about shalom before. It means well-being in every area of your life. And in Ephesians, Paul focuses the peace concept on relationships, because there was the Jew and the Gentile in the same church. And culturally, there was hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles, and they didn't get along. Speaking of the spiritual warfare, we see that today. We see the conflict in Turkey, where Ephesus was, and the Kurds. They hate one another. And the only ones they hate worse than that are the Jews. And us. There's a spirit in the Middle East of cultural conflict, of hating one another. And Paul's saying, Jesus Christ brings peace. Shalom. He puts you together in a peaceful atmosphere. And you know what? That needs to happen in churches too.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, Okay. That's Melanie. Faith. Extinguishing the darts of the evil one. The shield of faith. The devil wants us to doubt. What he did with Adam and Eve is he brought up things to make them doubt that God really loved them. And we go through things in our life and the devil says, see, God doesn't love you. God isn't taking care of you. If God was really on your side, it wouldn't happen to you. You need the shield of faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Not your own doing, it's the gift of God. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and you being rooted and grounded in love, and so forth. One Lord, one faith, and baptism. Salvation, taking up the helmet of salvation. Satan wants us to doubt our salvation. Am I really saved? But Scripture says, again, by grace you have been saved. It's not your doing. It's God's gift. The devil wants to challenge us in all these areas. And a great key weapon here is prayer.
Yeah.
Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We need to pray. Put on the armor, church. You can win those spiritual battles. They are there. They are real. The devil is subtle. Sometimes he has chains and runs around in the tombs. And sometimes he has a PhD and wears a tie. He has all different kinds of faces. But in Christ we can do that. I'd like the worship team to come forward. Have you been going through some spiritual battles lately? God's grace is there for you. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you victory. He's given you all the resources you need. You simply need to lay hold of them by faith. As we spend time now in this closing song, I want you to be thinking about where do you see the evil forces around you? How have they been attacking you? What pieces of the armor do you need to put on and firm up on? And who out there needs to be set free that you can pray for? You can reach out to and share the love of Jesus. Yeah. Pray to be involved.